This man was a sinner, and he needed as much repentance as the publican. He was not righteous. He trusted in himself that he was righteous, according to his traditions, according to his ideas, according to his judgment. But God sees deeper into the conscience than that. God doesn't look on the outward. Men justify themselves based on their traditions. Well, this is okay because da-da-da, and there's a loophole in the law. I can do this because it's okay. Rabbi so-and-so said that if we do this, then it's acceptable, but if we do that, then it's not. So I'm just going to stick with the letter of the law here, and, you know, and so doing, they corrupt the truth, and they depart from righteousness, but they, in themselves, they feel they're justified. God's going to look at that with favor. Mm-mm. Verse 15. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. When his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him, and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. So that comes up very frequently. Verse 17, Verily I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. You want to enter the kingdom of God. You've got to receive it as a child. In this case here, they're bringing infants. You've got to come into the kingdom like a newborn baby. And that's why John, he says, you have to be born again. You've got to be born from above. You've got to be born into the kingdom. He that is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, God's seed. And he cannot sin, 1 John 3. We have to be born into the kingdom as babies. We have to receive it with the receptivity of a tiny child. How do children receive things? My mind always runs to like all the different kinds of children. But what's the simplest idea? An ideal idea of what a child is. A very small child. Remember, the kingdom of God is come in preaching. It's declared. And they received it as a fact. You know, I think of the way I received my faith. I didn't receive it as a teenager or as an adult. I received it as a child. When I was a child is when I received my faith. And I have no perception of ever having unbelief because of that. Because I was so young. I had a point in my life where I really turned my life to God. It was only after I had turned so far away in my teenage year. You know, but early in my life, I really felt, you know, I read my Bible as a kid. I read my children's Bible. I read an older Bible. I was very interested in the things written in the Bible. The teachings of Jesus and so on and so forth. And righteousness, uprightness, it seemed very glorious to me. The idea of being the good guy, doing right, virtue, honor, glory, blessings, you know, all the good things that God has in his kingdom and that he promises. From his perspective, you know, they're coming with that just absoluteness of receptivity. They're extremely receptive to it. And we want to be extremely receptive to the kingdom of God. We can't enter it if we aren't receptive to it. And a child is very receptive. So when I come preaching righteousness, holiness, godliness, when I say stuff like that, I want, you know what I'm looking for people who are going to enter the kingdom is enthusiasm for those things. When I go to 2 Peter, and when I start talking about being a partaker of the divine nature, and about these wondrous promises, these great and precious promises by which we are partakers of the divine nature, and through faith in which we are going to obtain these things even in this present world, at least the beginning of it. You know, he's given us by his divine power all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. When you hear that, are you receptive to it? Can you receive it as a child? Oh, that sounds exciting. That sounds wonderful. Can we go right now? That's how a child receives the kingdom. Oh, I want to be there right now. Oh, virtue and faith. That sounds so good. Exciting. Knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. They all sound like such wonderful concepts. I'm so enthusiastic. I'm so receptive to the idea. I want to be good. I want to be righteous. I want to be virtuous. When you become cynical and adult about it, you can't enter in. Adults are cynical. Well, I don't know, blah, 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 blah. And, well, you know, I've got my pet, my little pet, sins I've developed. I've got my little things I hang on to. I don't know about that. Well, I'm a little too cool for that. Well, I'm a little too whatever. No enthusiasm, no receptivity to the kingdom of God. Maybe when they fear for their sins, they might suddenly want to save their own skin, but they really don't have that sort of receptiveness to the positive aspects of it. And that's why people are giving way to, well, in heaven you can eat all you want. Yeah, there's not going to be any sex, we know that, but you can eat all you want, you can pig out, and you'll never get fat. What a lie. Bringing carnality into the kingdom. You fools. Yeah, there's a feast of fat things coming. A feast of good things, like wine on the lees. But it's just a metaphor for the unspeakable riches of God's riches, the unspeakable glory of His glory. Things that we just can't comprehend yet of what that's all about. Verse 18, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all thou hast, and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say to you that there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting. So what does it take to enter the kingdom of God? What do we have to do? You know, that's the thing. The guy comes, he says, master, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And this point about this guy calling him good master, and Jesus' reply is repeated in several of the Gospels. He's saying, why do you call me good? There's none good save one that is God. And I wonder if there isn't some sort of playfulness in that, in the sense that the Lord is God.